This week, Rockwell Collins announced a partnership with the Caterham Formula One racing team involving technology transfer and development of some solutions specifically useful in Formula One racing. Alexander, when we were talking with you a few days ago about Formula One racing, the distinct impression I've gotten is that you're not supposed to be airborne when you do that, yet here you are in partnership with Rockwell Collins, an avionics company. So let's help us understand what the connection is there.
Yeah, of course. You don't want to be airborne. I mean, the whole concept of Formula One and open wheel motorsports is to actually generate as much downforce as possible. And what Formula One has become over the past couple of years, actually, is they've started to look for the same areas and same avenues of performance in all of, you know, a similar place. And what they're doing is they're kind of failing to step out of the box. And what Caterham F1 did with the partnership with Rockwell Collins was they were looking for new ideas and I think fresh answers for getting the performance out of the car. And in Formula One, when the top 15 is separated by 1 second, any type of advantage that you can have is going to play big dividends. And when you're looking for tenths of a second, any type of fresh approach and new idea is going to be a positive. And I think the partnership with Rockwell Collins is going to bring that. And that's something that Formula One it needs. And on a kind of a bigger picture, Rockwell Collins is an American company, and Caterham F1 is one of the few teams that is actually chasing the American market. And me being an American driver with Caterham F1, the partnership and the collaboration between all of us is something that's very good for the future.
Now, Colin, the specific kinds of technology you're thinking about here, are they public knowledge? Are they being talked about publicly?
Well, obviously, and probably disappointingly, we can't talk about the specifics of technologies involved here for good competitive reasons. But what you need to think about is, when we talked about downforce versus lift, so these are airplanes flying upside down, I like to refer to them as, and technologies in both those arenas can be used in similar ways. So to Alex's point, we think through this union of these two great companies of being at the pinnacle of their domains, there's something in there that we can bring to effect to hopefully improve the performance of Caterham F1 team. So as we explore those opportunities in this collaborative manner, I'm sure in the relatively near term you'll hear us start talking about some of those benefits we can bring to the team.
So this is different than a typical sponsorship where a company wants to associate itself with the excitement and the youth and the hardware around a particular event. There's more to it here.
Yeah, it's a variety on a theme. I would say there's extensive excitement throughout Rockwell Collins in the relationship. And from a technical standpoint, the amount of emails I've got from engineers wanting to be part of this collaboration has been significant. So lots of excitement in the sport, obviously. But yeah, a different tilt to it. It's not just carrying our name on a car. It's all about the relationship around technology and how we can apply technologies we're working on into the F1 environment.
Alexander, how much of a technologist do you have to be as the test driver?
Well, a very large part of motorsports and a large part of being a driver is the ability to kind of read the car and to be able to deliver the feedback to the car. So in terms of actually my understanding of all of what is going on in the car that I'm driving, the knowledge is fairly limited. I mean, I think I have a basic understanding of all the components of the car. But in terms of my actual involvement with the technology, it's more of, was it positive or negative, and what are the reasons for that? So my role is simply to obviously drive the car as quickly as possible, but to also kind of give a real-world explanation as to things that are being applied to the car.
Now, today, if an adjustment is needed, does that always require a pit stop, or are there some things that you can do in real time?
It's very dependent on what kind of adjustment you're talking about. When you're trying to change something that's actually mechanical on the car, whether that's springs, dampeners, or ride heights, that requires a pit stop, or in essence, stopping the car. You wouldn't really do that in a pit stop in a race. But there is quite a few electronic controls that you can change from inside the car on the steering wheel, everything from engine management to fuel management to the differential and how the torque is being applied to the wheels. The KERS technology, which is kinetic energy recovery system, and it's kind of a hybrid technology that takes the energy from the brakes and applies that as a boost. And you can change how that harvests the energy and then how it deploys the energy. So as you can tell, I mean, there's quite a bit that goes on inside the car besides just driving. So there is a variety of changes you can make. With that being said, the effect that they have on the actual car is fairly minimal. It's more fine-tuning the car as the environmental conditions change and as fuel levels change and tire wear changes.
Let's talk about that KERS for a minute. I didn't realize that F1 cars had that technology on it. It's the same thing that essentially I would have in my gas electric hybrid, right? Doing the same thing. Perhaps in a different way.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, what spurred this on was the fact that three major manufacturers pulled out of Formula One, BMW, Honda, and Toyota. And the reasons that they pulled out was, first of all, the budgets were getting quite high. But second of all, where they were going with their consumer car market was not matching what they were doing with their motorsports program in Formula One. And so Formula One saw that as a sign that they kind of needed to change their approach and their outlook. And KERS was kind of the first step of kind of renewing resources. And the carbon brakes on a Formula One car work in an operating temperature of 800 degrees Celsius to 1400 degrees Celsius. And they can decelerate the car at up to 6G. So you can imagine there's a lot of energy that's put through the brakes. So what they came up with was a system that kind of was a generator on the brakes. And as the car broke, it took that energy, put it into batteries. And then that battery power basically powered a small electric motor, which gave the car about 100 horsepower, which could be used for 6 seconds over each lap. So it's kind of like a boost. And that technology is going to be expanded even more in 2014 when they kind of change the engine regulations and such. And they're actually going to introduce a new energy recovery system called THERS, which is going to take thermal energy and actually recover it and use it to power the engine even more. So what they're trying to do is they're kind of, Formula One is realizing that the world is changing and that the outlook is changing, and they're kind of trying to adapt to that and do the best that they can to make it not only relate to fans, but to the manufacturers as well.
Is this a standard part today of every F1 car?
Yes, absolutely. It's a requirement, the rules. It started out as an option, but as it got more reliable and teams realized that there was an actual performance benefit to it as well, they definitely put it on. So it's not that it's just the cars are becoming more environmentally friendly, for lack of a better word. Actually, they're able to get a performance advantage out of it as well. So you're kind of getting the best of two worlds.
Okay. So obviously, Rockwell Collins being known for decades in avionics, having you here and having Alexander here talk about what's happening with F1, that's kind of an obvious thing, but my sense is, from what you're talking, that maybe there's a special affinity between aviation and Formula One racing that may not appear in other forms of auto racing. Do you think that's true?
Absolutely.
Why is that?
Well, essentially, these cars are successful or not based on their aerodynamic performance. So teams spend a lot of time working on that through the season downtime. And you'll find a lot of aerospace engineering resources transpose themselves into a Formula One environment. So there's a natural connection between aerospace and Formula One at the grassroots level. So it's not really surprising when you see aviation companies associate themselves with Formula One. Now, I would think the key thing for us is innovation. We at Oshkosh last year rolled out our touchscreen controllers. You may remember that.
Yes.
Touchscreen flight displays. That was the first time the world saw that. And at Farnborough this year, we got recognized for being the innovator of the year for that capability. So in a short 12 months, we had some major industry kudos. So this is just the next chapter on us being able to demonstrate the innovation we bring to our world and looking to bring to Alex's world.
So is there a timeline you have in mind where you're going to be able to say, okay, this is something that this partnership has yielded? Maybe not in F1, maybe in aviation.
We were deliberate about making sure this was not a one and done thing. So the sustainability of the relationship was important to us. So we have a list of things we're going to go work on, and we plan to roll them out in seasons on a sequential basis. So yeah, you'll see that. You'll see that hopefully over time. And I think when the time's right and we've seen the results of that labor, we'll start talking about specifics around that.
Are you tired of saying, no, I can't talk about that right now?
We get that question a lot. But yeah. But one day soon we will be.
Have you had a chance to meet and talk with some test pilots since you've been here?
I have not, no. It's something that I quite like to do. I mean, what I've learned about aviation since coming here on Monday was the fact that the community and the response from the fans and the people involved was truly amazing. It's something that I wish Formula One had. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for all the people that come out here and make this the event that it is. And talking to them and learning about it and my breadth of understanding is absolutely nothing. But it's amazing to me that just in talking to the people how much correlates between motorsports and aviation. And right. I think that just shows that that's another reason why Rockwell Collins and KTRM F1 are in this partnership together.
Well, one difference that I see is that you tend to do the actual production, the paying the bills kind of flying before you become a test pilot. In this case, you're a test driver, and I gotta believe that at some point in the future your resume is gonna say that you were a test driver, now you are a team driver?
A race driver.
Competition driver?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's kind of...
Angling for promotion, are we?
Mm-hmm. Working on it. Be nice. Because in Formula One, I'll quickly get into it, testing has become very restricted due to budgetary restrictions. So being a test driver isn't what it really used to mean, and I don't really think it means as much as being a test pilot, because I would imagine a test pilot is actually testing new parts and new dynamics of planes, whereas as a test driver, you're not really testing new things. What you're doing is you're put into the Formula One environment and you're kind of put into a learning and development position so that when you do get to Formula One, everything is natural and it makes sense. And so while I am a test driver, I'm also a race driver in a series that's just below Formula One. So I'm kind of doing the best of both in that regard. So I'm still working on the racing and winning races and such, but at the same time, I have my foot in the door and I'm developing the relationship with KTRM F1 and learning what the F1 world is all about.
Okay. Great. Colin Mahoney, who's the Vice President of Sales and Marketing with Rockwell Collins, and Alexander Rossi, test driver for the KTRM Formula One team and a big part of Rockwell Collins' new partnership with KTRM. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
I'm Mike Morgan. You're listening to EAA Radio.